The Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly, brought to you by Marinda Simpson State Farm Insurance. Here's Brady Hull and Kevin Lytle.
Welcome into another edition of Rams Weekly, presented by Marinda Simpson at State Farm Insurance, a great supporter of the Rams. Kevin, I was trying to think about this today. Since we started doing the show, is this our third year doing this? Second year?
Third year of Rams Weekly.
Have we ever had...
I think. Yeah.
Have we ever had three wins in a row while we've done this show?
No. I was looking that up. Shoot, thanks.
It's gone.
I want to say 19? 18 or 19
was the last time they won three?
Three in a row. Because 2020, obviously, they only played four games. Did not win 4, 3, or 2. 2021, they had back-to-back wins, but went 3-9. Did not have consecutive wins last year, or at least three. So yeah, it's been a minute.
We are maybe on the cusp of having our most successful Rams season, football-wise, since we started the show.
Low bar, but I think I feel quite confident that that is going to be cleared this year.
I think so.
A win Saturday would... Well, frankly, that would put it there. I mean, that would match the highest win total since we've been doing it. And obviously, the trend would be a pretty significant upward.
Do you think Jay Norvell would reach out to us and say, thanks, guys? I feel like that's been part of the success.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he's locked in right now.
Yeah.
Tuned into what we're saying. Rams Weekly might be the most important part of his week.
It's got to be up there. It's got to be top three or four. You know, I think so. We could talk to him about how do we stop those running backs going up the middle there.
I think that is one of his topics this week.
That would definitely be. That was a little concerning to me, Kevin, because this date stands out to me. October 28th. That is when the Rams go up against Air Force. And if Utah Tech is running like that, at least in the first half, they got better as the second half went on. What is Air Force going to do?
Yeah, and this Air Force team, granted, the schedule hasn't been great, but right. They look really good.
They're running better than they've ever ran before, perhaps.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, CSU needs to get better. I think, one of the things we're seeing, it's not just directly related to Air Force, but we did see against Utah Tech, is a number of freshmen got a lot of time. I think that was as much about the rest of the season as it was the Utah Tech game of... We're not thrilled with some things on defense, so we might have some freshmen start taking over some positions. I think that's a real concern. And yeah, no doubt, you're going to have to be better against Air Force, in the run game. It's a whole different beast. Like, you almost have to not change everything. That's too dramatic, but kind of your normal game plan is different because of how they play. And also, they... As usual, don't throw it at all, but my God, it's efficient. They're at like 70-some percent and like 22 yards per completion. So they're just clicking on offense. So I know we're going to have ourselves, but man, that's going to be a beast.
I was talking to Jesse Kurtz today with the Mount West, and I was like, it just feels like cheating when Air Force throws the ball and they complete these deep passes.
Yeah, I mean, they're hitting you for these 4, 5, 6, 20-yard runs. It's mind-numbing to try and stop it because really it's four downs, too. They go for it a lot on fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's get three, get three, get three, get three. So on fourth and one, it's no big deal.
It's the formula.
And then, they hit you with that little surprise pop pass, and it's like, oh, my God, we have to worry about that part of the game, too?
I know, and that's the craziest part about Air Force. They're maybe going to throw it 3, 4 times, if that, a game. I think sometimes you're shocked if they throw it 4 times a game. So that game coming up, CSU has some work to do trying to stop the run game, but ultimately they get the win 41-20. If you would have won 28-20, are we feeling, are Rams fans freaking out a little bit? Or
there are some freaking out anyways, but yeah, I think... That ended up being fine. The first half was weird. Obviously, yeah, like you said, there's some concerns about some, especially defensively. The delays didn't help things. But CSU's not a program that can complain about 21-point wins right now. I mean, it's trending upwards, but CSU's been losing to FCS teams. So you're not really going to whine about a win, or shouldn't, in my mind. So yeah, there are issues, things to clean up. But there were also clearly, like I said, with some of the rotations, parts of that game where the staff was building toward later rather than, you know, necessarily that individual game.
Well, and we'll see with the matchup coming up, too, I think is going to tell us a lot more about CSU. And you're right, that Utah Tech game was weird. The lightning delays, the turnovers really just destroyed momentum in that game. Now, again, it's not really a knock on BFN because he's so talented. He's so fun to watch. But those turnovers, it felt like the Rams could score at will to start this game off. But it was that first turnover that BFN had. I think he's trying to get Dallin Holker to go deep. Yep. And he just
it should have been a touchdown.
Oh,
it was one of those
scrambled
drill. If you're short, you go long. If you're long, you come short.
Yep.
Holker was going long, and he was wide open. BFN just underthrew him. So he made the right decision. It was literally just a execution error in, you know, accuracy, which you can live with. He made the right choice. Just didn't quite execute it. It was, frankly, the fumble that I thought was bad. He was carrying the ball too loosely. And then the second interception where Norvell even said he was throwing it out of bounds and basically missed out of bounds. where Jake, you know, it's funny in a win. He says, hit that in the third row.
Yeah,
like, you know,
throw it.
Doesn't have to, and he was scrambling, so he didn't have to worry about grounding. It's like, just hit, you know, find your mom in the stands, throw it to her.
Yeah, and you could hear it. I was listening to the postgame show with Jay Norvell on the way home, too, Kevin. And you could hear it in Jay's voice that because it was a win and you ultimately won big, that you can kind of laugh off some of those things. But you also kind of hear not necessarily concern in Jay Norvell's voice because he's like, okay, he's a, what is he, a freshman, right?
Yep, redshirt freshman.
So he's going to make those kind of mistakes. But when he's, I think Jack Howell said this too the other day, when you're making up for it with a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards, those turnovers at this age are a lot easier to take.
You're going to have to live with some odd plays. The kid has started four games in his college career. I mean, I know the numbers are huge,
crazy,
and you can kind of forget because of that, but the kid is a complete newbie. So with the explosive plays, you're going to live with some mistakes. You're going to have to. I mean, this offense was, you know, frankly, going nowhere previously, and now it's moving up and down, making explosive plays. So if you get some head scratchers in there, you're going to have to live with it. The thing you need to see is growth. And I think that should have been throwaway pass is the type of thing that's a very easy learning process. You know, we'll probably see a situation Saturday where he's scrambling out and has to do something. So it's funny, there is a process. One of the earlier games, BFN took a couple sacks on scrambles where he just ran out of bounds, you know, 2 yards short of the line of scrimmage. And Norvell, after, I forget which game, but he said, throw the ball, you know, me and Matt Mummy are sitting right there, just throw it to us, you know, you got to throw those away. And then in the Utah Tech game, he tries that. Doesn't throw it away properly. So you
That's
saw the
crazy growth
there. So hopefully next time,
yeah, he gets,
you know,
it out.
And it'll probably happen Saturday. He'll be scrambling, has nowhere to go, no one to throw to. Just hit a student in the stands.
I think it'll be hilarious if he does that.
That'd be, oh yeah, like go just chuck it onto the concourse or something and then turn to Jay and just smile.
Oh, it reminds me of
I could actually,
Blues.
Yeah, I could see BFN actually doing that.
Yeah, just to really make sure I got
so
it.
So as long as you see the growth in those type of situations, you're going to be okay. Yeah, you can't continue to ride with 3 turnovers a game from your quarterback, but as long as you see the growth and continue to make explosive plays, they're going to live with that. It's a freshman. It happens.
Yeah. No, I watched that, you know, and I'm looking at those turnovers, and they were frustrating at the time, and they did kill momentum, but then when you see the other things that he does, it's like...
He threw for 462.
He moves pretty good, too.
So he's an interesting... And he had the rushing touchdown on kind of an RPO,
keeper,
if you will.
Deal, yeah.
And it's interesting, because he's not a... Like, he's not a runner. They're not drawing up plays for him to necessarily run a lot. So I don't think teams will ever be spying him or anything like that. But he's got, you know, a little of that Bambi deer in him that he can move and make those happen. So I think that's a nice little weapon on, you know, a third and short or something. You can have that in the bag. Yeah, you're not going to have 10 design runs a game with him. But every now and then pop one of those, or one of those, again, a true RPO where he could hand off, take it himself or have a short pass to, you know, Holker or something. I think we're going to see some of those.
It's opening up this offense, yep, finally.
And that's kind of the run game a little bit, you know, even that short pass. Because right now, with injuries, struggles, they don't have much of a run game.
Yeah.
But those short passes, especially in offense like this, operate pretty much the same way.
We're starting to see this four air raid thing kind of take hold, yeah, especially the last week, and then against the Buffs too. We're seeing that, and then Middle Tennessee got going in that second half. You talk about BFN; he's been exciting, but the weapons right now. I mean, Torrey Horton is just unreal. 10 receptions, 227 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And Kevin, honestly, that's not the most impressive stat to me. His blocking was the most impressive stat. Was he's running down and he's knocking dudes on their butt. And you're seeing the rest of the receivers on this team do that. So he is his leadership in that area. You're seeing bodies on bodies down the field when a guy like Dallin Holker catches the pass.
Yeah, on that Holker pretty long reception where he got down to the 2, Torrey Horton out in front, he mauled a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a full pancake block from a And Torrey's, you know, obviously he's a lanky guy, but he's not like a bulked out huge guy. And he just pile drove that guy. Asked him about it after the game, and he said, that's a requirement. Like, that's a rule on our team. You don't block, you don't get the ball. You know, receiver, you know, we're not just flair players. You have to put dudes in the grass. Lewis Brown, I think it was, had one in the game. It was impressive. And yeah, it speaks to some of the signs we're seeing from this team, that they're doing some of those little things that you need to turn a program
when
around.
You have a star receiver like Torrey Horton make those kind of plays and say that kind
that
of thing.
That sends a message.
That sends a message. Rams Weekly continues. Utah State coming up next for the Rams. How's that one looking for Colorado State? We'll talk more about that coming up next. It's fitting that we're coming in with this song called I Am Machine, because we were just talking about Torrey Horton. The guy's a machine. He absolutely is.
He sure is. His first two drives against Utah Tech were games that most receivers would dream about. I think he has 5 receptions, 130-something yards, and 2 touchdowns. And that was in 2 drives.
Kevin, do you have – I like to put you on the spot here, but
perfect.
I've already been asking the question about Torrey Horton being, is he the best receiver ever to come out of Colorado State? And again, maybe he won't have the numbers, maybe he will. Sometimes, does he pass the eye test? Gallup is really, really good. Is Horton better than Michael Gallup?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I'm guessing they're going to have they both are going to be 2-year guys at CSU. Even Jay Norvell somewhat hinted that, well, maybe Torrey won't use his final year of eligibility here at CSU and will be gone after this one, which is, that checks out.
Yeah.
Hoo-wee. Man, that's a tough one.
It is. What are the numbers like? In terms of rankings and like touchdowns and yards? Do you have that?
I do not have it in front of me. I'd have to look it up. But I know a little bit of it. So Gallup holds the single season receptions record at 100. Torrey is currently on pace to go way past 100. He's going to have like 4,000 catches this season.
Jeez.
right now, he's on pace to go well over 100. The yards, I think, are above Gallup. I think Gallup was the best at the impossible catch. You remember that one against Nevada where he basically rode the bike in midair. He was the best sensational catch guy I've seen at CSU. Horton might have a higher ceiling, though, as far as a pure receiver. He's supremely fast. He's been clocked over 22, maybe even over 23 miles per hour this year, which is like nearing Tyreek Hill levels, which is crazy because Torrey's a lanky guy. He has great hands, crisp route runner. We talked about some of the other intangibles. I think he has a chance to be better both at CSU and in the pros.
Yeah, I was just taking a look at some of the, you had most of these numbers off the top of your head. I still have to Google them, Kevin. Higgins is at 239 receptions, and that's the top, right? So
yeah, and career numbers, Horton probably won't get there because he is, I imagine, only going to play two seasons at CSU. But single season marks, he is certainly on pace to put up some really big numbers. And the thing is, I'm trying to remember the number, but Gallup's last year, he didn't have a ton of touchdowns. A decent number, but not a huge number. You know, Hollywood Higgins has the high water mark there. I'm not sure Horton will reach that, but he's gained a lot of touchdowns, so he's going to be in that mix for all the single season, top five marks, if you will.
Yeah, and looking at career too, you're right. Higgins is going to be tough to pass. He's at 31.
Yeah.
But Horton's at with just CSU. Like 14 or something.
Yeah.
So he should he'll easily crack the top 10.
Yeah.
Probably crack the top 5 in career in just 2 years, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it speaks to what he's doing. And especially if you look at his numbers last year, it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive considering the offensive struggles.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and that game last year, the Middle Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns in that game. You see a few more three touchdown games from Horton, and he's going to break a lot of records.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated. This is what the air raid's supposed to be. Like, yeah, you're going to have a star, but what do you do? Because if you just throw all your attention at him, Dallin Holker's just going to go have a 150 piece, or Justice Ross Simmons will have 150, or both. So that's where it's so tricky, and that's why Holker is so important. Of basically, sure, send your safety to go help with Torrey Horton. I will just abuse some linebacker and score a 50-yard touchdown. Like, great. So that's why defenses, that is what the air raid is designed to do. It's a simple concept, but you have to have the right people and pieces of create matchup nightmares. And so if you want to take one away, be our guest. We'll clap and say good job. It's like if you remember Steph Curry at Davidson, there's that one team that basically said, forget this, we're not going to let Steph go for 40.
Yeah.
So they triple teamed him all game. I think he didn't have a shot. Davidson won by 50 because he just dished out to wide open dudes. That's almost obviously that's a dramatic reimagining, but that's kind of the concept of, sure, if you want to throw all your guys on Torrey Horton, be our guest. We will completely abuse you.
Well, that's why I think with Torrey, he's got to love Dallin Holker because he's like, thanks, dude.
So in camp, they kind of joked about it of hey, we're going to trade days. Like, you got the double yesterday, so I'll take it today, and things like that. Who's open? Who's getting single coverage? So they have sort of a friendly, I'm not even sure competition, but friendly teasing back and forth of hey, man, you got to take a double off me right now.
It is when you look at both of these guys, Torrey Horton obviously has all the makings of being a really good NFL wide receiver. Dallin Holker is a great receiver, as far as catching tight end, but he is deceptively quick. I don't know. Maybe quick's not the right answer, just the way he moves.
I'm going to have to ask some of CSU's defenders. So Jack Howell has talked about how he's a really good route runner. But yeah, I'm curious about, is he good at deceptiveness in his moves, or what is it? Because, yeah, he is fast, for a tight end. But it's a different, it's not Torrey Horton type speed. It's not like he's just running away from guys. But he must have, the hip movement that deceives you or whatever, something that defenders seem to be unable to read what he's doing when he has the ball in his hands.
And that is, I'm watching the Broncos, and they struggle so much with their tight ends in the yak game, being able to catch ball and move upfield a little bit. They're tackled pretty quickly. This is what I think offenses in the NFL are looking for, is not only can we throw a little 5-yard pass to this tight end, can you turn upfield and make guys miss? Can you elude them? Can you break tackles? Can you stiff arm? And Dallin Holker seems to have a lot of that in his tool belt.
Yeah, I mean, he does not go down quickly, and he makes those big receptions, turns them into bigger gains. He's been so big for this offense, and we knew he'd be important. We talked about it a lot, but even... it's been even more so than I think we imagined.
Yeah, again, kind of putting the finishing touches on the Utah Tech game. Weird lightning delays. The Rams overcome that, and they ultimately run away 41-20. Defensively struggled against the run, but they did kind of figure it out. Now, some of that might be because Utah Tech got down, so they stopped running the football. On a scale 1 to 10, 10 being you're extremely concerned about the run defense, where do you sit right now?
Like a five.
Yeah.
And probably just defense overall because they've had some big pass days against too. So, you know, in my mailbag, I kind of talked about it and on social media. You know, I called it medium concern. So, yeah, in that like 5 to 6 range of the defense has made big plays, but they've also given up big plays. And, you know, if you continue to force turnovers, you can live with yards given up, but it's a bit of a risky way to live. You'd love to see it clamp down a little bit on that. And they've got a big test this weekend because Utah State can move the ball. If Cooper Lega plays,
he's a pretty elusive,
you know, kind of versatile type of quarterback. So it's going to be a challenge. This defense got a lot better in Mountain West play last year. I think the hope and expectation is that they would start at a better point this season. Granted, they played some really good offenses, but it has been disappointing. But maybe they'll turn it on now.
This goes to show you how many Utah State games I've actually watched because I didn't know the S was silent on that guy.
I believe so because he's...
I trust you.
He's had a weird little career. A couple of years ago, he came in... what bowl? They were in a big bowl. He came in late, had a really big game. He played part of the game against CSU last year, but got hurt. They had two different quarterbacks get hurt last year. And then again, last week, he came in relief due to an injury, had a really big game against UConn. So he's certainly good coming in as a relief pitcher. He's just a funky quarterback. When he's on, he's really good. But obviously, since he's not always starting, he's had some inconsistencies.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I asked Jack about, too. Like, how do you kind of prepare knowing there's a good chance you might see two quarterbacks in this game? And that's got to be
strange.
Yeah, kind of almost two different
sets
of film.
And Utah State clearly can score. I mean, they've put up some big points. Obviously, their numbers are skewed a bit by 72 against Idaho State, but I don't care who you're playing. If you can put up 72, you're doing something right. And they've put up good numbers against other teams as well. So it's a offense that can move the ball, even though they have had inconsistencies at quarterback.
CSU should be able to score a lot of points on this defense.
This feels like a shootout.
Yeah, it really does. So we'll preview that a little bit more, take a closer look at Utah State. Also, don't look now, but basketball is right around the corner. Yeah, Nico Medved getting the crew back in action here. So we'll continue these conversations coming up next. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Rams Weekly presented by Miranda Simpson at State Farm Insurance. Glad we could be with you guys here again as we're rock and roll. It's fun to talk about wins, Kevin. It just is. You know,
that's the truth.
It's just positive around, and I'm sure. Are you getting that vibe more around CSU right now? Are they a little more relaxed, a little happier, upbeat around the facilities?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at a year ago, the program was pretty disjointed as, you know, they, you know, frankly took out some of the mess from the previous regimes, you know, players leaving that weren't really on board. It was just a whole chaotic mess. And this year, I mean, I don't believe anyone has left the program after this 4 games, you know, which is the redshirt threshold. So it kind of tells you where things are going, the direction things are moving. And yeah, obviously winning games helps and trending in the right direction. This is a huge, huge, huge week because lose this one and, you know, not that the season's over or anything. You could still make a bowl, but, you know, it'd be a bit of, oh, I guess we're not quite there. Win this one. There is so much energy heading into that Boise State game next week.
Oh, man, huge. And Boise State, who knows? This could be a year you do it. But you got to take care of Utah State first.
Yeah, now this is really important. And CSU and Utah State have a weird history. They play funky games. You know, the last time in Logan was the Steve Adazio field goal disaster. Which he took no blame for, put it all on his players, which was some type of head coaching move.
Through that,
I reread my stories today.
I knew there was a weird issue, but I couldn't remember exactly what it was.
So CSU, to their credit, and this is a Utah State team that I believe went on to win the Mountain West, and CSU was 2-0 in Mountain West play at this time. You kind of forget there was that little brief moment where it's like, oh, are they figuring things out? Utah State got up and looked like CSU was kind of dead. Really great comeback. Todson, it was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
They opened up the offense when they started losing, and you're like, why are they not doing this more? Todson Teo made some big plays. cut the lead down. CSU's down two, had a really efficient two-minute drive to get, I think it was about to the 30, 25, 30, something like that. Had a first down with 11 seconds left, so clock temporarily stops, enough time to go up, spike it, get the field goal unit out, kick a game winner. Half the offense stayed on, half ran off. The field goal unit ran on. The clock was ticking. They rushed the field goal. They actually had time to set up, but they didn't take that. Shanked the field goal. Game over. CSU loses. After the game, Steve Addazio says, "We didn't tell the kick unit to go on. They went rogue. They did it. We should have been able to make the kick. We didn't make the kick. I don't know why the players did that," to basically summarize his post-game statement.
And it would have been nice to have a special teams coach to tell them not to go on.
Yeah, it was one of the, like, I don't, I mean, I guess a classic Addazio move to blame someone else, but you're the head coach, so if they did go rogue, that speaks poorly on you because you should have control of that situation. And if they didn't go rogue and someone sent them, and even if it wasn't you, you should have control of your coaching staff. If it was you, then, of course, that's on you. Just a classic mess up. And then everything fell apart from there. That was the last or the first loss in a string of them to end the season, ended the Steve Addazio tenure. And that to me, was the one that really swung everything. It was a game they should have been able, you know, in that situation, should have finished it. And then the way he handled it, he banned the media the next week. Everything just went completely haywire after that. It was the start of the end, really.
Yeah, and it was just clunky. You knew at the beginning of the season, that's odd. He's not hiring, or when he started, not going to hire a special teams coach. And then to see it really bite you shows you why you hire a special teams coach.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, to control the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a weird situation. But there have been so many. You know, there was the Hail Mary to Preston Williams a few years ago under Mike Bobo, where CSU would have beat a top 15 Utah State team, but Preston Williams was flagged for having stepped out of bounds before going and catching that ball. Just weird stuff happens when CSU and Utah State play.
Kevin, I think we both agree that it's going to be an offensive explosion between these two teams. CSU should do their thing. Even without, still on the running back situation, Avery Morrow, Kobe Johnson still out.
So Avery Morrow is out. Kobe Johnson looks like he'll probably play. I believe he's been cleared. So you probably get him back.
That would be big. So I don't think we have a lot of concerns right now, at least, that this offense isn't going to go out and do their thing. Utah State has given up some points. They gave up 33 to UConn last week. But on the defensive side, we talked about stopping the run game, all of that. What does this defense really need to show you this coming weekend to kind of get us feeling better about it? Because we felt so good about the defense last year. Now they've kind of been meh.
Yeah,
know,
I think
I
a bit more consistency, because they've basically been a one-half team. You know, maybe CU probably more than that. They played pretty well for most of the CU game. But otherwise, you know, it's been kind of one-half of decent, one-half of not very good. So if you can put together more of that, consistency would be really big. And yeah, I think starting well would be huge, because Utah State has had a lot of bad first quarters. So if CSU can jump out to a big lead, that would really help.
Yeah, no doubt. If you can get out to a big lead.
Or not even necessarily big lead, any lead.
But then you get, you know, you get your Mo Camaras, you get your defensive ends getting pinned
in their ears. There's no doubt that if you get in the situation where not just Utah State, any team has to rely pretty heavily on just passing, that puts CSU in a position of strength, because then Mo and company can just let loose and you know, kind of not have to worry about some of those other things. They can just attack the quarterback, which is their strength.
Yeah, that's what. And when Mo's getting after it, even if he's not getting the sack, if he gets,
he's
if
in
he
the
gets
backfield
his
all the time. Newer Gatkuth is coming on, kind of Mo's underling. Newer calls Mo his annoying older brother.
Well, it's good, because you're going to need somebody to replace him pretty soon, because I don't think Mo's coming back next year.
Or well, he can't. So
does he? Is he out?
Yeah,
he's out.
Yeah. This is his COVID year.
I don't.
Yep. He's in the extra.
That's
year.
Why you're our.
It's so hard to follow.
Here
it is
because
so hard to follow.
COVID and transfer. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it is so hard to follow.
So he's done for sure.
Yep.
So it is good to get his replacement. The guy's a stud, and when he hits a quarterback, man, it just looks. I feel
Mo is relentless. One of the funniest players on the team as well, but just relentless. He has that practice work ethic. They sometimes have to almost sit him down and practice, like, okay, man, like, we need you ready Saturday. We don't need you, you know, burning all your, or using all your bullets in the week. So he's a dominant force. Yeah, I think the best defender in the Mountain West right now.
Wow. And that's a guy too. I know when he was out for the first half of the Middle Tennessee game, we were almost like, maybe that's a good thing because it gives him more ammo, more energy.
And he had
energy,
a huge second half.
But there's no way he would ever, that had to be the most miserable thing for him sitting on the sidelines in the first half.
Definitely. I asked him about that. He said, well, I can understand why the coaches get mad at us sometimes. You know, he's basically like, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, what are we doing?
It is nice.
So they put on the coach hat, and he's like, oh, yeah, I can see why they get mad at us.
Yeah, look at it through their eyes or whatever once in a while. I want to see. I'm excited about the offense. I don't have any reason to believe the offense is going to take a step back this week against Utah State. But I want to feel better about the defense. I want to get back a little bit because I feel like if you can see a resemblance from the defense a year ago and pair it with the Fort Air Raid, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look at the Utah State game last year, pretty much limited Utah State, actually injured two quarterbacks. Obviously, that's not what you want, but the offense just couldn't get going. You know, CSU limited Utah State to 17 points, which should be a winning, you know, enough for a team to win. If CSU holds Utah State 17 Saturday, CSU's going to win. I feel quite confident in that.
They beat halfway to a bowl game at that point with three wins.
It's a huge. This is one of my big swing games on the season.
Yeah. No, we'll get picks coming up in the next break. We'll look at the rest of the Mountain West. A lot of Mountain West teams are off this
week. Yeah, it's a funky week. There were, I think, only three Mountain West games. But yeah, we're about to hit the stride, and we have a couple teams we're going to learn a lot about soon, including one just to the north of us.
One interesting game coming up this weekend, too. We'll look at that on the other side. It's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly. Colorado State, Utah State going at it. Before we get into picks in the Mountain West and everything, CSU basketball, right around the corner, man.
It's so close.
I'm excited about the basketball team because last year you're coming in, you know, your first year without Roddy. Isaiah Stevens is hurt to start the season. Some of these other guys that you think are going to be big parts of your team are hurt or banged up still, too. So it was just not the ideal startup for Colorado State.
Yeah, kind of everything went wrong last season. And I don't want to say a throwaway year because they all count, but it kind of felt like in some ways. But yeah, I think the excitement's really high. They've really increased the length athleticism in the roster. You, of course, have question marks like you do every team. How will new players fit? Who will do what role and to what level? All those type of things. But you have the best player in the conference in Isaiah Stevens, and that's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, well, and I think you got to be encouraged with how they finished the season last year because they did.
What was it? Quarterfinals of the Mountain West tournament took San Diego State to the wire. If there were maybe a refereeing decision different at the end of that game, it could have gone a different way. And then San Diego State goes, obviously, and does their thing, which is one of those you're like, what?
Yeah.
We almost beat that team a month ago by that point. But yeah, I think you had some guys figure some stuff out. Like I say, they brought in some talent. So, you know, it's October 5th, quite early. But right now, I would say this is a team with potential to be, you know, quite good.
I think so, too.
I just did my vote for the Mountain West preseason. I don't know if I'm allowed to release it or not, but I'll just say it here.
I think
I voted CSU fourth. I voted Zay Mountain West preseason player of the year, which I think he'll win pretty easily. I think it's either him or Dagenhart, maybe some votes for Mashburn. But I think Zay will win that.
What do you think of the Mountain West this year?
Good league. I think it has potential. Again, in the transfer portal era, there's always a lot of questions of like, well, I'm not 100% sure. But I think it has 3 to 4 bid potential. I think San Diego State, they lost a lot, but turns out a Final Four run can help in recruiting. Not that they were hurting there anyways.
Good marketing.
I think they're going to be good. I think Boise State has a chance to be very good. And then CSU, Nevada, New Mexico are probably the next group. UNLV is always a wild card that, if things fall right, could all of them in different ways could be quite good.
New Mexico, what are they looking like? That's the team I think you and I were both like, why are they not as that good? They should be really good.
Yeah, when they started, what, 15-0 because they played a pretty weak non-conference, but then, you know, that left them little margin for error. And frankly, they didn't schedule great this year, which doesn't make sense to me. But Mashburn House, I think they made a couple decent additions. I think New Mexico has a chance to be quite good.
Yeah,
and obviously going to the Pit is always hard. So you have a huge home field advantage, home court advantage. I think they have a chance to be good. Nevada had a huge rebound year, and they have a couple key guys back. I think they could be pretty good. And like I say, I'm pretty bullish on some of CSU's moves.
Yeah, me too. Outside of CSU, I would say New Mexico, even though San Diego State went as far as they did, New Mexico was
the
most entertaining team to watch.
Yeah, they were fun. Is that when Mashburn and House were on, it was very
and they could score quickly when those two guys were going.
CSU saw that down at the Pit in a very bad way.
Yeah, they did. But let's see if they can the Rams can bounce back this year.
Great non-conference schedule. It is one heck of a challenge.
Are you that prepared? Do they return? Are they going dancing this year?
I think they have potential.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to make that. The non-con slate is both very challenging, so you could get knocked back pretty good, or you could pick up some big wins and be in a pretty good position going into Mountain West play. I certainly think CSU is playing in the postseason this year. Which one? That's a big question. I do think the potential for an NCAA team is there, again, partially or in large part because you have not only a best player in the Mountain West, but one of the best point guards in the country.
Yeah.
It's like having a Heisman candidate quarterback. That's how good Isaiah is.
Yeah, he'll be playing in the NBA, right?
Man, I don't know. I hope so. You know, there's one where, you know, kind of human connection does play in of like, Isaiah is a great kid. You want him to have, you know, everything. Size is going to be the knock. You know, that's why he's back. You know, if he were 6'4", he'd be in the NBA right now. You know, need to get stronger. Obviously, you're not going to get taller, but stronger, you know, quickness, you know, able to defend at that level are going to be the question marks. Man, I just hope he gets a legit shot somewhere.
I do too. Like I said today, anytime you get a guy that around the area at the college level, I'm always just immediately going, he'd look pretty good in a Nuggets uniform, man. Yeah, but I think that's just, I don't even
it's
know
natural,
if he'd fit. I just say it. And then you hope it
everyone
sticks
does,
one of these days, you know? One of these days, maybe.
It'll happen sometime.
So basketball's right around the corner. Start up their season November 6th, is that right?
Yep, Louisiana Tech, a pretty decent opener there.
They and come then they have really a few, here, too.
Okay, yeah, there are some good home games, too, including that team in Boulder.
Yeah, that team in Boulder. A little less drama in the basketball game, maybe.
Yes, I don't think we'll see the sniping from those two head coaches.
What if Nico Medved comes out and says, you know, when I go out, I like to have hair. And he says that about Tad Boyle. You know,
them's fighting words.
That's what he should say. No, I love both of those coaches, actually. So that'll be interesting to see what they do. Northern Colorado, I don't know much about, to be real honest with you. I've talked to Steve Smiley a little bit, but they got a lot of new faces.
A lot of turnover, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. All right, Kevin, back to football. CSU this weekend. Again, not many Mountain West games, but we are starting to get.
It's only three, but it's a good three.
Yeah, it's a good three. Interesting. Should tell us a lot about this conference, too.
Yep.
Let's just take a look at, you know, the big one that they moved around a little bit. It's going to be on Fox, right?
Yeah, that awesome opportunity for the Mountain West.
Saturday night, 6 o'clock. The 24th ranked Fresno State Bulldogs are going to up north to Wyoming to take on a 4-1 Cowboys team that has surprised some people. They have some close games. Maybe they shouldn't be close, but at the same time, they beat Texas Tech. They had a good game against Texas with a backup quarterback. This is going to tell me a lot about Fresno State, but also about the Cowboys.
Yeah, I wrote sort of a tiers of Mountain West teams, and I had Fresno State and Air Force as the favorites, and then I had the second tier was the Wyoming tier of they might be a favorite, but I'm not willing to say it yet, but we'll find out because not only this Fresno game, listen to their next four. Home versus Fresno, at Air Force, at Boise State, home versus Colorado State.
That's the gauntlet right there.
That's one heck of a month. We're going to know everything about them after that. This is a great game. It's awesome for the Mountain West. It's on Fox. One of the best G5 games this season. I like Fresno State. I think they have a really good defense, which is probably because we know Wyoming's offense tends to be just okay-ish. I think Fresno will go in, and it's fortunate for them. It's early season before the weather turns really nasty. I think Fresno goes in and wins and probably covers.
Covers the six.
I'd say like a 10-pointer.
Here's the weird thing. I think Air Force is better than Fresno State. I really feel that way. Their schedule hasn't been, Air Force's schedule is not great. But I do think that Fresno State wins this game, and I think they cover as well against Wyoming. Quickly here, Kevin. Okay, Boise State, San Jose State. Boise State's had a weird start to the year.
Fresno's record is bad, but you look, the teams that they have lost to are combined 18-2. So
yeah.
They're not a bad team. I think San Jose is going to put a scare in them.
It's 9.5.
I think Boise wins but doesn't cover. I think it's going to be a tight game.
Every time I buy into Boise, they let me down. And then
every
when
time
I
you
ignore
want jump,
them.
Yep.
Yep. So my gut told me they were going to win this game and cover. So you know what? I'm going to say they win. I'm going to go a little bit here against them, though. San Jose State does cover this one. Colorado State, Utah State, CSU -3.
I'm going to go high scoring. 37-31 CSU.
37-31. Give me the 40s. Give me 40-28. 40-28. The over-under, 63.5.
That's hot. That's a good one.
We go over that? I think we go over that.
I could see that.
There we go. Yeah. Don't bet on what we say. This has been Rams Weekly. Kevin, great job as always, my friend.
Super time.
All right. We'll catch up with you guys next week for another edition of Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.